Bibles tonight, we're going to be in Psalm 56, a great psalm, a perfect psalm for tonight. And Psalm 56, I was going to cover tonight as I turn there with you, Psalm 56, and I'd like to read it, all of it to you, and then we're going to talk about it. It says in Psalm 56, David cries out. He says, "Oh, be merciful to me, O God, for man would swallow me up. Fighting all day, he oppresses me, and my enemies would hound me all day, for there are many who fight against me, O Most High. And whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? All day they twist my words, and all their thoughts are against me for evil." He says, "They gather together, they hide, they mark my steps, and when they lie in wait for my life, they shall escape by iniquity. In anger, cast down the peoples, O God. You number my wanderings, you put my tears in your bottle, and they are not, are they not in your book? And when I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. This I know, because God is for me. And in God, I will praise his word. In the Lord, I will praise his word. In God, I put my trust. I'll not be afraid. What can man do to me? Vows made to you are binding upon me, O God. I will render praises to you, for you have delivered my soul from death. Have you not kept my feet from failing, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?" And the church says, amen. What a wonderful word. Tonight, David cried out, "Whenever I am afraid," and that's what we're going to talk about. We reopen now on this Wednesday night. I was going to actually teach three great psalms of David, but the Lord just changed everything to where he wants me to, I believe, only to talk about or teach on one psalm tonight. But think about this. For 7 months and 27 days, or for 29 weeks, we have not met as a family in this chapel. That is a long, long time. Amen. After all these months, it seems like it's almost like a dream for me as I look out there and I see all these masked people. And I tell you, I am so thankful to see each and every one of you, and thank you for coming out tonight. I know that there's a lot of people that they were divided. Do I watch the debate, whatever that means, or do I want to come and worship God? Shame on you. No, I'm just teasing. I'm teasing. No, listen, we are living witnesses. Just think what we've gone through this year. We are living witnesses to a worldwide pandemic. And we are now living witnesses to a presidential election that's coming that is like no other in the history of our nation. In less than 30 days, a new president or Trump will be in the White House. Oh, I pray that you're praying for God's will to be done. That's the only prayer that I am praying. Lord, I want your will to be done. Here we are living witnesses to more anger, to more hate and destruction and division and mistrust and cancel culture since the American Civil War. Think of the time that we're living in right now. There is an atmosphere of fear that hangs over our nation called America. It's sad to see all those things occurring. We're looking at the historic fires from California to the cities that are flooded with smoke all the way up into the Northwest. We have hurricane after hurricane, and now there's one, I believe, called Delta that's getting ready to leave Mexico and then move toward, I guess, the Louisiana coast. It is perilous times and unbelievable times that we're living in. There's confusion. There's so much change. There's so much carelessness, and no doubt fear is trying to rule the day in this nation. There's only one thing that is certain. There is only one thing that is sure. There is only one thing that is changeless, and that is the eternal, living Word of God that we trust in tonight. Amen? Oh, how thankful I am for God's Word. So tonight, we're going to talk about whenever I am afraid. Whenever you're afraid, what do you do? Well, we're going to learn from David. So Psalm 56, it says, to the chief musician, it says, set to the silent dove in distant lands, or to the dove in strange lands, amidst him of David, when the Philistines captured him, or literally seized him in Gath. Now remember, Gath was the home of the Philistine giant Goliath. And so the word amidst him, very important, because really these three Psalms, 58, 59, and so forth, 56, 57, 58, they all go together, but I'm not going to cover but just this one tonight. So the word amidst him here, literally it speaks of enduring. It speaks of being fixed and steadfast, immovable, and literally stable. In Psalm 57, 7, next Wednesday night, the Lord willing, when we're there, David says, my heart is fixed, or my heart is steadfast. That is amidst him, okay? And that's the way we need to be tonight. Delitzsch called Psalm 56, he called it this, the cheerful courage of a fugitive. David was not cheerful. But I tell you what, David was indeed a fugitive. He was running from Saul because Saul wanted him dead. And so what does David do? Let me set this psalm up. He runs to the king of Achish, and he runs there to seek a political asylum from the Philistines, which are David's enemies. And if you go back and study Samuel, you'll find out, remember, he stopped at the city of Nob, which was the priest. Remember, he ate the holy bread, and then there was no weapon, so the only weapon that was there was the weapon of Goliath, or the sword of Goliath. And so he shows up in Philistine territory in the birthplace of Goliath, and he has his sword. That's not very wise, is it? And so let me set it up from 1 Samuel 21:12, this psalm. It says, now David took these words to heart and was very much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. Now, these words were, the soldiers were mocking David, saying, why have you brought him into this camp? And David was afraid, so here's what he did. He changed his behavior before them, and he pretended madness in their hands. And he started scratching on the doors of the gate, or literally he was scribbling words, if you will, on the doors of the gate. And he let his saliva fall down on his beard. And then Achish said to his servants, look, you see this man? He's insane. Why have you brought him to me? Have I need of madmen? In other words, he's saying, I have enough crazy people, okay? He says that you've brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence, and shall this fellow come into my house? In other words, get this guy out of here. And then it says, so David, therefore, he departed from there, and he escaped to the cave of Adullam. And that will be the next psalm, okay? But tonight, David saves his life by pretending that he has lost his mind, okay? Psalm 56, verse 1, great psalm, loved one. He says in his prayer, he says, oh, be merciful to me, O God. And look why he prayed that. For man would swallow me up. It says, oh, fighting all day he oppresses me. My enemies would hound me all day, for there are many who fight against me, O Most High. You know, when you start out, do you ever call God and call out the Lord and say, Lord, be merciful unto me? That's the greatest thing you can do, because God is merciful unto us. Amen. He's the God of all mercy. He's the God of all comfort. He's the source of everything that we need. All the goodness, all the love, all the provision is found in our Father in heaven. He says, oh, be merciful unto me. I'm going to ask you a question. What would you do? Really do, loved one. The word of God is true. Amen. David was really in trouble. What would you do if you were actually in the shoes of David? All day, every day, being chased, being hunted, hounded, being oppressed, being tracked by your enemies. not knowing if death awaits you that afternoon or that evening or the next day. You know what David did in that kind of condition? Look at verse 3. He says this, whenever I am afraid, say that with me, whenever I am afraid, I will trust. Amen. Listen, let me tell you something. When you are afraid, you will trust in something or someone. Did you know that? I trust in my nightlight in my bedroom. I leave it on bright. You know I don't have that. Guys, you can laugh in here. I haven't heard laughter in over 7 months. Amen? If you don't want to laugh, fake it. I don't care. It's just do it. No, listen. He says, whenever I am afraid, he says, I will trust in you. That's the first mention of that phrase in the Bible, and that is David's favorite verse, if you will, or saying, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. Listen very carefully. Was David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, was David the man that God said was after his own heart? Was David, who was the greatest military leader that Israel had ever known, was David afraid? Yes, he was. He was afraid. I don't know what's wrong with some of the Christian teaching today. If you fear something, you're in sin. David's faith was impeccable. Do you know what I'm saying? But David right here, he says, listen, I'm afraid. He was afraid. And sometimes we are all afraid. We'd be lying if we didn't say that. You know, when you can't pay your bills and you have children, they need to eat. Do you understand? Or your wife is ill or your husband is ill. Listen, that fear can try to come upon you. Oh, loved one, listen to me. David says, whenever, whatever the circumstance, whatever I'm facing, yes, I'm afraid, but when I am afraid, what do? He says, I trust the Lord. Oh, what a great word for you tonight. What a great word for me tonight. What a great word for our nation tonight. Listen, that's the answer to every fear we may have. But how did David do it? Notice what he said. David said, I will. He made a choice. He made a willful choice. He made a decision. He said, you know what? I can either fear or I can trust. And that's exactly what we have to do. We have to make a decision, don't we? Listen, when we are faced with fear and when we are afraid, and whenever I am afraid, what are we going to do? Well, I have a choice. I'm either going to trust the living word of God. I'm going to trust my Father, your Father in heaven, or I'm going to let fear rule me. But if we make the right choice, if we let our will of our own volition say, you know what? I feel that fear. I see that fear. I know what's happening. But then if we'll just say, you know what? I'm going to trust God and I'm going to trust his word, because God says in his word in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us what? The spirit of fear. God doesn't do that, but of power, but of love, and a sound mind, a healthy mind, a stable mind, a fixed mind, a mitzvah, if you will. That's what God has given unto us. Listen, fear is real. It's real. The spirit of fear, listen, I'll tell you, you know what the spirit of fear does? The spirit of fear is like a voice that tells you that your fear, what you're facing, is bigger than God. That's the way it always is, isn't it? You know, this what's come against you, what you're facing is, it's so much bigger than God. You have to beware of the voice of the enemy, loved one. I have to beware of that myself every day. Listen, when the 12 spies were sent into to the promised land, the land that God had given them, remember? And they spied out the land for 40 days. And then they returned and they said unto Moses and they said unto Aaron, it's just like God said. Man, it is a land flowing with milk and honey. Look at this big old fruit that they're bringing. Remember all that? And then what did they say? They said in Numbers 13:28, nevertheless, there's that word, fear. That's what that is. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land, oh, they are strong. They're fierce. He says, oh, and their cities, they're fortified and they're huge. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there, meaning the giants. And we're not able to go up against this people, for they are stronger than we. And then we saw the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in their sight. We were just a bunch of cockroaches or a little insect in their sight. Oh, listen. Can I tell you something? Listen to me now. Everything that those spies, and of course Caleb and Joshua, they knew God could help them take the land, but not the other ten. But listen, everything that they saw when they went into the promised land to spy it out is true. I mean, loved one, listen, fact, everything they saw was true. Fact, were the people strong? Man, they were strong. Were the cities, over the top fortified? Yes, that was a divine fact. It's true. Were there giants in the land? Fact, yes. Here's another fact. Fear kept them from taking what God had given unto them and caused the first generation, they were 11 miles from the Canaan land. 11 miles, and they had to turn back because of fear. Fear kept them from their destiny. Fear kept them from the provision that God had already promised to give unto them. Fear is a terrible master. I don't want fear to rule my life. Amen? No, I don't want it to rule your life either. David said, whenever I am afraid, look what he said, I'm going to do. I will praise his word. Look at verse 4. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can man or what can flesh do to me? When David says, I will praise his word, what does that mean? It means that he says, I am going to celebrate. I'm going to praise God for all of his incredible promises that he has made. Listen, you know, remember what Paul writes? He said this. He said in 2 Corinthians 2:1-20, he says, for all the promises of God in him, meaning in Christ Jesus, are yes. And again, I say yes and amen to the glory of God through us. Listen, Jesus is faithful. Has Jesus ever broken his word? No. The Bible says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, listen, whenever we are afraid, we need to say, you know what? Okay, I'm not going to deny that I'm afraid, but I tell you what I'm going to do with my fear. I'm going to trust God's promises. I'm going to trust his word because God cannot lie. Amen? Look at the contrast. Look at that question David said. He said, what can man do to me? But there's a contrast that he was doing. What can man do to me? In other words, what can man do to me in contrast with what God can do for me? You know, one of my favorite scriptures is the Hebrews 13:5 and following, where the Bible says, be content with what you have and be satisfied with your circumstances, your present circumstances. And the writer of Hebrews says, for he himself has said, and right now I pray that that would enter into your heart. For God, your Father himself has said, the God who cannot lie, he has said this, I will never leave you. Listen, he hasn't left us, has he? I mean, it's been slow. It's been over 7 months. It's nearly been 8 months. But we're here. We're back. We've prayed through. We've been patient. Amen. We're strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We're not a weak church or a weak people. No, we're back. And we're going to continue to come back. And we're going to continue to grow strong in the Lord. Loved one, listen. It says, he himself has said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Our Father just made a promise to us, the creator of all things, the one who sustains everything in this universe. You don't have to fear. You know why? Because of one word, never. That's a great word. Do you believe that word? God said, never, never. I will never never forsake you. Think about that. You're not ever going to be forsaken in this life. Whenever I am afraid, you should say, I'll never be forsaken by God. Amen. Oh, that you can hear fear. You can take that because I will never be forsaken. No, he says in his word again, and I will never leave you. Boy, listen, you don't have to fear because of one word, never. I looked up the definition of never. Let me read it to you. Something that will not happen at any time. and that's wonderful. No, let me read it again. I get tickled. he says, never define something that will not happen at any time. Listen, never. He says, I will never forsake you. I will never, ever leave you. That's what God has promised to each and every one of us. And he goes on, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? What can COVID do to me? What can anyone do to me? I belong to God. Oh, whenever I am afraid, I boldly say, the Lord, the creator of everything, he is my helper. I will not fear. Now, the removal of fear is found again in another word, and it is the word my. God is my helper. Psalm 23:1, what did David say? He said, the Lord is my shepherd. Amen. I shall not want. I shall not lack anything. Why? The Lord is my shepherd. He's the one who cares for me. He's the one who leads me. He's the one who will never leave me nor forsake me. Why? Well, the Lord, he is my shepherd. Now listen to me. The promises of God, I'm talking to Christians, the promises of God are incredible. The promises of God are perfect. The promises of God, however, are no value to a believer unless you believe them. Amen? It is absolutely impossible for God to lie. It's impossible. Do you understand? He's not capable of lying. God cannot lie. When he speaks perfect living truth. The Lord is your helper right this minute. No matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, the Lord is your helper. And the reason that David refused to fear, it's where he placed his trust. You know, the Bible tells us in Psalm 37:3, it says, trust in the Lord. It says, do good, dwell in the land, and feed on his faithfulness. What a wonderful thing to feed on. Man, God is always faithful, and you can feed on that truth. Whenever I'm afraid, what do? You trust in the Lord. Whenever I am afraid, what do? Go feed on God's faithfulness. God is always faithful. He has never been unfaithful. When we are faithless, he remains faithful. Why? For he cannot deny himself. He's the faithful God. Oh, how wonderful the Lord is. He says in Psalm, in verse 5, he says, all day long, all night long. He says, oh, they twist my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather together. Oh, they hide. They mark my steps. Say that with me. They mark my steps. Oh, and when they lie in wait for my life, shall they escape by iniquity? He's asking God a question. In anger, cast down the peoples, oh God. I love that scripture. You know why? Because David says, all day long, oh Lord, look what they do. They mark my steps. They watch every move that I'm making. They count them. They mark them. They follow me. And then I love what David did. I want you to look at David's faith. He says, yes, my enemies mark my steps, but look at it. But what? You, God, you number my wanderings. That literally means, Lord, but you count my steps. Listen to me. Long before you had that iPhone health app, I am nearly a 10,000 a step man. Yes, right. It's now that I can see. Then if I didn't make it, I go on another walk. You know what I mean? I was only, last night I was 50 steps short of 10,000. You know what I did? I followed my wife all over the house. That's right. That's the iPhone app. That's the only thing I like about the iPhone. I hate every other thing about it. It freezes on, never mind, I don't even want to go into that. But here's the thing, David's faith, he said, listen, oh, you count my steps. Does that not amaze you? He knows how many steps you took right now to come into this church. He knows every step you've taken today. God knows your very first step in your life, and he knows your very last step. And he will never leave you, and he will never forsake you. On that final step that you take, precious in the sight of the Lord, is the death of his saints. He's there. He sees. He knows. And he cares, loved one. I can't imagine. It blows me away. Sometimes when on my walk, I quote that scripture to myself. You know, you number my wanderings. You count my steps, O Lord. You know where I'm at. You know, he knows where we are at all times. We're never out of his sight. Doesn't that bless you tonight? I mean, you're never out of his sight. You're never out of his care. He is always right there with you. And not only does he count your steps, well, he numbers your tears. Look at it. He says, oh, you number my wanderings and you put my tears into not a bottle. That's very important. Not a bottle. David says, oh, you put my tears into your bottle. Loved one, if you're going to catch tears, what does that mean? Into a bottle? It means that you have to be right there. You have to be right beside that individual. Amen? See, Jesus, the Bible, I just read, the Lord's my help. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. See, God is right there. Every tear that David ever cried, it says, oh, you put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in thy book? Whenever you are afraid, remember this, God likes to journal. Don't you know what I mean? Do you journal? Do you have a little journal and you write stuff in? Well, God does too. He has his own book. It's in heaven. And you know what God does? Listen, tears. You know, you're going to find tears. You're going to have tears all through your life. Amen? God created tears for a purpose. And your tears are important to God. Not only does he put your tears in a bottle, loved one, and records them in heaven, but he puts your tears in a bottle and then he writes in his journal, his book, why you cried that tear. Man, oh, whenever I am afraid, I'm going to trust the one that knows I'm crying. I'm going to trust the one that knows, even if it's just a tear, if I just tear up and it doesn't fall down, but my eyes are full, they're wet. He says, I got every one of them, Bill. Whatever you cry, I got them. What kind of God, the God that we serve tonight? Oh, I look and I say, Lord, I love you and I celebrate you. Oh, listen, you know what someone said? Your tears that you cry, they are among God's treasures in heaven. And one day, our tears will never fall again. They fall now, but they'll never fall again. Tears are so important, loved one. One day when we get home and we walk into that celestial city, oh Lord, man, listen, it says in Revelation 21:4, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. No more crying. No more crying. He says, there'll be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. I want you to think about something for a moment. Think of the countless tears that have been shed by mankind since the fall in the garden with Adam and Eve. All the tears that have been shed upon this earth. We live on a planet that has been bathed with tears from grandmothers and grandfathers and children and wives and husbands and brothers and sisters. Think about the tears that have been cried. And I tell you, tonight, when I look out over this nation, I tell you, America is weeping. They're weeping. And it is sad. It is heartbreaking to me. But I tell you what, our world that we're going to, because we're not of this world, we're going to go to a world where no one cries. Man, listen, think about that. Did you know that you won't even have the word tears or crying or pain or sorrow or death in your thinking or your vocabulary? They will be remembered. It says, no more weeping. Jesus wept. He wept over Jerusalem, didn't he? Jesus wept in tears there at in what John 11. Jesus wept at the tomb of Lazarus. Jesus wept in the Garden of Gethsemane. Paul, the apostle, one of the greatest men besides our Lord that ever walked this planet, he shed more tears for his generation than any other living person, believe me. Great man of God. He was always in tears. He was always crying. He cried and shed tears, remember, with the Ephesian elders as he was leaving. He says, because I'll not see your face ever again. And they knelt down and they wept. Tears. America, listen, the church should be in tears. We should be weeping over this nation. Not complaining. We should be weeping. Not complaining about masks or social distancing or Democrats or Republicans or this conspiracy or that conspiracy. We should be weeping. We should be Jeremiah. We should be like the weeping prophet. It says in Jeremiah 9:1, he says, Jeremiah cries out, he says, oh, listen, oh, that my head were waters. He says, and my eyes were a fountain of tears that I might weep all day and weep all night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Why was he weeping? He was weeping over the spiritual condition of his people. We should be doing the same. The Bible says those who sow in tears, Psalms 126 something, I can't remember, shall reap in joy. And then listen to this one. I love this scripture. Man, I've made this scripture a living in my heart. He says, when I cry out, O God, or when I pray to you, look what happens. Then mine enemies will turn back. That's the result of faithful praying. He says, oh, when I pray. And then he goes, David says, this I know because God is for me. Did you ever look at prayer as a weapon of defense? We're going to be covering that in Ephesians as part of our armor in a couple of weeks. You know, prayer is always going to be the work, isn't it? We need to be steadfast in prayer. We need to, like Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not faint. Don't be discouraged. Don't ever give up. The answer's on its way. Just keep praying. Be faithful in it. God hears. God knows. Your prayers that you have prayed maybe 5 years ago or 10 years ago, if you prayed the perfect will of God, meaning you prayed the word of God to God, you know what they are? Your prayers are still alive at the altar of God right now. And God's the one who decides when they're going to be answered. You just keep believing. You just keep praying. Prayer is the work. You fight your enemies. You know the best way to fight your enemies is not with your mouth. Yes, it is with your mouth, but not to them, but to God. You fight your enemies with prayer. And this is a great confession of faith. Whenever I am afraid, this I know. This I know, this I'm experiencing, this is what lives in my heart. Whenever I am afraid, this I know, God is for me. Is that an incredible, isn't that a beautiful verse of scripture, loved one? What a great verse on a Wednesday night, our first Wednesday night back. I say, oh God, this is so wonderful, this I know. That means that faith is standing on a sure knowledge that God is for me. You know what? Let every person on earth, let every person that you know, let every loved one that you know be against you. You need to always remember that God is for you. God is for you. I hear, you know, people say, I don't know, everybody's against me. No, everybody's not against you. God is for you. There's always going to be one or three, the Father, God, the Son, God, the Holy Spirit. They are for you, and they are for you right this minute. Listen, the Bible tells us in Romans 8:31, it says, what shall we say to these things? You'd have to go back to Romans 8:28 to 30, and then you'll know what those things are. But he says, oh, what shall we say to these things? If God, or since God is for us, who can be against us? Oh, listen, that's not a hope so. That's not, I might, it might, he might be for us. Oh, no, listen to me. This is just not anyone. You know, you hear, I'm for you, brother. I'm for you. So, well, praise the Lord, but that's good. But this is just not anyone. This is Almighty God himself. He says, I'm for you. I'm for you. I'm for you right now. I am for you. I will always be for you. I don't know about you, but I tell you what, I cling to that verse many, many times. I go to that verse. God says, I am for all of us. He is for us, for those who are in Christ. That means all that God is, all that God has, is for you and will always be for you. Now, I want you to listen to me. God was for you in eternity. Remember? What did God do? God chose us in him, meaning Jesus, before the foundation, before the earth ever was. Amen? Listen, God was for you in eternity. God is for you in what we call time right now. And God is for you when we finally go into eternity. Imagine we're going to be with God who is for us for all eternity. All eternity. I tell you that just lifts me. It blows me away. But you say, well, Bill, I failed. We all have failed. But God is for you. That's why the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. David says, the scripture, Paul said, oh, if God be for us, who can be against us? Did you know that is a challenge to the entire world? That is a challenge to everything in the universe. If God, my Father, and God, your Father, is for us, listen, who dares to stand against God? Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in the one who is for me. Amen? And that's what we all must do. Listen, that doesn't mean that our enemies are going to disappear. The devil is against us, but he's defeated. The world is against us, but you know what? We've overcome the world. Amen? Oh, no. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in the Lord. I'm going to praise his word because all of his promises are yes in Christ. The Bible says Romans 8:32, it says, for he did not spare his own son, delivered him up for us all. How will he not with him freely give us all things? And then Paul says this about the God who is for us. He says, yet in Romans 8:37, yet in all these things, tribulation, nakedness, peril, sword, distress, tribulation, in all of those things, listen to what he says, we are, present tense, we are more than conquerors through him, meaning Jesus, who loved us, who died on the cross for us, who will never leave us, and who will never, ever forsake us. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust the Lord. I will trust in the Lord, and I will praise his word. Praise his word. For his word is true. Loved one, listen to me. This is our eternal position. We are overwhelmingly, it says more than conquerors. That means we are overwhelmingly super conquerors. Victory, loved one. Victory, my brother used to tell me, but he's home with the Lord now. But my brother who taught God's word all over the world, he always would say this about victory. He says, Bill, never forget, victory is a position, not an attitude. I have that written in one of the books that he gave me. That's the way he wrote it. He says, victory is a position, Bill. It's not an attitude. The Bible tells us, it says, thanks be unto God in 2 Corinthians 2:14. Thanks be unto God who always, 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 not sometimes, but always leads us in triumph, in victory through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? Oh, whenever I am afraid, I will trust in the one who leads me in victory. No matter how dark it is, no matter the darkest night, loved one, I am still a conqueror because I'm in the one who has overcome the world and sin, my sin. Amen? Oh, how we need to hold on to that. Paul says, he goes and he says, "For I in Romans 8:38, for I am persuaded." That means I stand convinced. I am persuaded that neither death nor life, angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, height, depth, nor any created thing, I love that, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing in creation, nothing in the universe can ever separate us from God's love. Do you know that? Nothing, no matter what you face in this life, yesterday, today, forever, nothing will ever be able to separate you from the love of God, which is found in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Isaiah 41:14 says, "I will help you, saith the Lord." Is there anyone, can you find any more strength than God? Any more power than God? Any more certainty than God? Oh, listen. No, whenever I'm afraid, go to the Word of God. Say that word to yourself and claim it and make it your very own. He says in verse 10, in God, that's the word there is Elohim, in the mighty God, I will praise his word. He's saying it all over again. Now he uses a different word for God. He says, in the Lord, Yahweh. In other words, the existing one, the self-existing one, whatever he needs, he can create it. He says, I'm going to praise his word. Now listen to me. How much of God's word did David have? Do we have more of God's word than David had? I mean, David was responsible by the Holy Spirit working through him to pen a lot of God's word. But we have much, much more word of the word God's word than he does. Oh, listen, we can praise the Lord for his word because God is trustworthy. The Bible tells us that he has given unto us exceeding and precious promises. You know, the Bible says in what is it, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things, not some things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The emphasis there should never be on I can, never. But it should, the emphasis is on Christ who strengthens me. Amen. Philippians 4:19, for God shall supply all my need according to the riches and glory in Christ Jesus. The Bible tells us in John 6:37, Jesus said, oh, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. Isn't that great to know? What security we have when to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who never leaves us, the one who never forsakes us. He says in verse 11, in God I put my trust. Again, he says, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Over and over, he prays to the Lord. He says, vows made to you are binding upon me. He says, oh God, I will render praises to you, for you have delivered my soul from death. Have you not kept my feet from falling? That I may walk before you or before God. Where? In the light of the living. This is a magnificent scripture, loved one, this prayer right here. See, David, did you see David's faith? He's saying, yes, I am in the very thick of trouble. Man, yes, I have fear, but I'm trusting in God. And he says, but you know what? All this trouble, all this oppression, everything that I'm facing is just about over. You see, when in verse 13, for it says, for you have, past tense, for you have delivered my soul from death. That word there is saying that David is looking ahead. He's anticipating his future deliverance. It wasn't happening at that moment, but he believed it with all of his heart. The loved one, that is faith. Amen. That's faith whenever you're afraid. David says, I know where my future is. My future is with God. And I'll tell you something. Whenever you are afraid, the greatest thing you can do is remember your future, what your future holds. Warren Wiersbe, who departed not too long ago to be with the Lord, said this. He says, the future is your best friend when Jesus Christ is your Savior and Lord. And that is a true word. And you know what? Just as David said, you delivered my soul from death, that's exactly what Jesus has done for you and for me on this first Wednesday night back. He says in his word, the Lord said in John 5:24, he says, amen and amen are literally most assuredly. I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has, meaning to possess that very moment, has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has, that's present tense, very important, but has passed from death into life. What a glorious word. The word most assuredly is amen and amen, or truly or verily, verily. That word literally means, when he says most assuredly or amen and amen, Jesus is saying this is the strong, it is certain, this is the immutable, infallible truth of God's word. If you believe, you hear my words and you believe, he says, listen, you'll never come into judgment. Think about that. But you'll have everlasting life. Whenever you are afraid, why don't you believe, all of us believe, the spoken word of our Savior? That word came from the very lips of Jesus Christ, our Lord. There is no greater assurance. Jesus said, if you believe in me, you have right this minute an endless life, everlasting life. You possess it that very moment. Jesus said in John 10:28, and I give them eternal life. Here it comes. And they shall never perish, and neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Did you know if you are a believer in Christ Jesus, and we are tonight, we have nothing to fear when it comes to the judgment. You know why? Because what did Jesus just say? He shall not come into judgment. What does that mean? It means you don't have to wait until the day you die and stand before him to know the verdict. You already know the verdict. Amen? Jesus has given us that double assurance. Amen and amen. You will not come into judgment. Why? Because Jesus was judged on the cross for you and for me. Amen? He paid the penalty of our sins. He took our place. Romans 8:1, therefore there is now no condemnation. None, not an ounce, to those who are in Christ Jesus. And we have passed out of death into life. That is a glorious word. We've been made alive. We who were dead in trespasses and sins, we have been made alive together with Christ. We're his body. David said in verse 3, whenever I am afraid, are you afraid tonight? I hope you're not. But if you are, don't feel bad. Latch on to this scripture. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. What a great word, David. Oh, listen, let us trust the Lord. Let us feed on the Lord. Let us feast upon the faithfulness of God. For he is surely the one that has never forsaken this church and has never left this church. In the midst of all that is happening, the bills are still being paid, people are still being helped, and we've never been alone. Amen? Oh, God is so good. Welcome home. Whew, I feel good. I could move. I feel so good. Whew. Father, we praise you tonight. I give great, overwhelming, tremendous applause and thanks to you. Glory to you. Glory be to your name tonight. Oh God, thank you. I thank you in Jesus' name. After 7 months, nearly 8 months, oh God, 29 long weeks, we are back. We are growing. We're moving back to what we used to be, and we will continue to move forward because of you. Because of you, Lord, the one who promised that you, God himself, is for us. Oh, Lord, tonight, whatever need may be in this place, those that are listening live. Oh, Lord, if they don't know Jesus, I plead with you to receive him into your heart. Tell Jesus, Jesus, be the Lord of my life. Pray to him right now. Let him save you. He paid for your sin. He died for you. Oh, Lord, I give you praise. We give you praise. In Jesus' name. And the church at Calvary Chapel says, amen. Let's thank the Lord.